Today is a brand new day. I want you to look in your notes or in your book. If you can find the subtopic, we're dealing with reasoning today. The subtopic says, following the Lord demand deliverance from reasoning. And I want to go to the scripture over in Romans 9, verse 11. We're going to read all the way to verse 24. And what this verse of scripture tells us that God don't need a reason. All God needs is obedience, because he already has his purpose in mind of what he want to do and how he want to do it. So God never, we don't reason with God when God's will is to be accomplished. We just obey. Our job is not to reason and try to figure out why God want to do it like this, or why he permit this in these scriptures here. But God is made to obey. All right, because God is God. God don't have to even explain anything to us. Sometimes just because of his merciful nature, he do. And sometimes because, you know, we in his flesh, he permit some of our ignorance by asking questions. But let's read the scriptures, and you're going to see some things that could demand a question, us to question God, if we're functioning in our flesh. But in the spirit realm, there's no such thing as questioning God. So let's read the scripture beginning at verse 11. Apostle Paul begins saying, for the child being not yet born, he was talking about Jacob and Esau, neither having done any good or evil. If you're not born, how can you do good and evil? And you're going to find out that God had already made a judgment about Jacob you love and Esau you hate. How can you hate someone that never was born? And you don't want to question that. But God is God. And you permit God to be God and you obey. So let me read again now. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, underline that in your Bible, that the purpose of God, according to the election, might stand, not of works. In other words, nothing because, not because of something they did or didn't do, but of him that called it. God called us to be so. It was said unto her, unto who? Unto the mother, the elder shall serve the younger. And it was written, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that will it, nor of him that run it, but on God that showeth mercy. So God is the one that determines how he wants things done, who he wants to do it through, and how he wants to do it. So our job is to obey. Yeah, your natural mind. Yeah, that damaged nature of Adam. From the point of reasoning, through the knowledge of good and evil, yeah, it's the point of want to question certain things. But the scriptures say it. You just prove it. That's because according to God's own purpose. That's why we're supposed to pray in the spirit. Sometimes you pray in your English. Sometimes you want to pray your will. But Romans 8 tells us, you see, according to his own purpose, you're praying the will of God. You see, you messed it up in the natural sometimes, trying to pray your will, God do your will. But when you pray in the spirit, you bypass your will and you pray the will of God for that situation. That's why God got to give us another level, another level of praying, another level of believing to get past our natural human reasoning. You see it? You see it? Because we'll be doing it a whole different way if it was up to us. Because sometimes what God does like don't even make sense. Because we try to reason everything. Just don't make sense. No, but this is something we got to be delivered from. If you go from straight to obedience and don't deal with reasoning, boy, it'll save God a lot of time doing stuff on the earth. Yeah, but you got to get past our minds and our reasoning first. You see it? Oh, what a good lesson this is. For he said unto Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have 12:15 verse. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that will it, nor of him that run it, but of God that showeth mercy. Now look, I got another scripture that came to my mind. Why are we on this scripture here about will? Over in the book of John, you see, Jesus came in a certain way, according to God's will. And like it didn't make sense how Jesus came. Why didn't God just go bring him straight to the throne? You see, but God had to do something a certain way. And with our understanding and our infant and our little bit of knowledge we got, we'll mess up God's will. You see it? Where is that now? I'm going to find. Here it is. 13th verse. Talking about when Jesus was born. John 1 and 13. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You see, that point out the same scripture. He's saying the same scripture over here in Romans 9. You see it? Not the will of the flesh, you see, not of blood, but of the will of God. That was Jesus. It's the will of God is the principal matter or the principal thing that's at stake right here in obeying and God. Our job is to fulfill his plan and his will for our life and for his universal purpose. The body. See, we function for the purpose of the body, not for the purpose of me, you, my four, no more. God looked at the whole body, the picture, the whole body of Christ as a whole. You get on it individually, he'll bless you individually, but God always look at the whole body. All right? 16th verse. So then, it is not of him that will, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture said unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose I have raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee. He raised Pharaoh up just to show his magnificent strength and power in himself. And that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. God always do things purposeful. Purposeful. He called you purposeful for a purpose. And our job is to find out what that purpose is, fulfill it, and obey it. Find out what that purpose is, say, Lord, I want to fulfill it, and obey it. Do whatever he tells you to do. You see it? But that's a little clause there. Don't do what he didn't tell you to do. See, some people get over anxious. Instead of doing what God told them to do, they try to make some things, they try to help God. Just do what he tell you to do, and what he didn't do, you don't do nothing if he didn't tell you to do nothing. All right. Verse 18. Therefore has he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will harden, and whom he will he harden. Thou wilt say unto me, why do ye yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? You see, Apostle Paul is trying to show the plan and purpose of God is not always with our understanding. It's always, sometimes it's hard to obey because you got to get through reasoning. You see it? 20 verse, nay, but O man, who art thou that replies against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Had not the potter power over the clay, or the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God willeth to show his wrath and to make his power known, endure with much long suffering? Suffering, the vessel of wrath fitted for destruction. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. Even us, whom he had called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. So what he's saying is that let God be God. You just submit to his will, and then let God do what he want to do from there. Be quick to submit. You see, sometimes people got trouble submitting to their spiritual leaders because sometimes the authority looks like they're downgraded. What you mean? They won't hear God directly. Sometimes God fulfilling some moves in your life through your pastor, your leader, your shepherd, your overseer, your elders. Sometimes God is trying to use them to fulfill something in your life. But no, you won't directly hear from God. Well, Lord, you didn't tell me that yourself. God said, I don't have to. I got these men and these women I placed in authority to tell you what to do. Submit to them. Sometimes you don't want to hear God. Sometimes you're ready to hear Moses. You see it? You see it? Well, anyway, I see, I don't want to get caught off on that because there's so much to be said about that. So much to be said. Oh, when the church comes to knowledge of God's authority, when the church comes to understanding why we're submitting to God's ability, it'll become a new creature. Help us, O Lord, to understand that. You pray that prayer. Help me, O Lord, to understand your will. So, following the Lord demands deliverance from reasoning. If you're going to follow God, you must be delivered from the principle of reasoning. It is very true that we need to have the eyes of our reasoning put out in order to follow the Lord. What govern our life? What govern our life? That's a question I'm asking. Well, the book asking, I'm asking too. What governs our life, Claire? Is it reasoning or is it authority? What is it? Is it reason or is it authority? The servant of God must be delivered from the life of reasoning. Reason is the first cause of rebellion. Hence, there can be no control over our words unless reason is thoroughly dealt with first. No control over your words unless reasoning has been dealt with first. Is that such an easy thing just to deal with reason? No, it's not easy to deal with reasoning. I didn't say it was. See, but the hard thing, God help us do the hard thing. We can do the easy thing. Park our cars. You know, make sure the front door is locked when we go to bed at night. But God the one that protect us and keep us safe and sound, even when we don't know the danger, hidden danger. See, let's do the easy stuff and let God help us to be delivered from reasoning. You can't do it by yourself. That's what I'm trying to say. That's what I'm trying to say. It's not easy. It's not easy. Unless the one is delivered by the Lord from the bondage of reason, the sooner or later he will utter slander word. Now, so what I'm saying is that, is this. Listen to me close, Clad. Sometimes people deal with reasoning. Some of you might be listening today. You got some reasoning and surrounding some thoughts that you're dealing with. Why? Why you got to go through this? Why you're not certain places you should be in ministry? Why? And so all that leads to reasoning thoughts. And so sometimes we'll deal with those certain things. But unless you deliver from it, it's going to hold you up. See, look, it sounds very easy to talk about delivering from the life of reason. And that's what I'm trying to get to now. We're trying to show us how to get delivered. Well, teacher, well, Reverend Gautreaux, how do I get delivered from the life of reason? I'm glad you asked. But as rational being, how can we refrain from reasoning with God? Now, it seems most difficult. We reason from childhood to adulthood. Isn't that right? From the time you were able to talk. You start asking questions and try to understand things naturally and with reason. And it's good in developing age. But that principle of reasoning been with us from growing up. And so until now that we're adults, and then now we're saying get rid of it. You say, well, it's not so easy to get rid of it. I like I'm programming to reason. My mind sees something, and then they're trying to automatically figure out and try and get a reason for doing this. You know, in your marriages, you got reason. You're trying to figure out a reason why you're getting married. Why are you getting married? Matter of fact, we ask people that. What's your reason for getting married? Because I love him. No, it can't be it. It's by itself. No. 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 You got to love him like the Lord love, not flesh to love. See, now I ain't getting off on that, but I'm saying, we've been programmed for a reason. Why you go to school? Well, you know, everything got to have a reason. And so we've been built with reason. We're bounded by reason. We're surrounded by reason. And then so when God tells us to do something, now we, oh, I got all these other reasons. He's telling me I can't do what God said to do. Yeah. And that's why sometimes God got to blind us from reasoning. See, the Apostle Paul was on the Damascus Road. You see, and Paul couldn't understand what God wanted him to do. Saul could not understand what God wanted him to do if God tried to explain to him before he had this experience on the Damascus Road. Ain't no way with all his learning, all his experience, all the dealing he had with the Christian, all the persecution, all the thing that was built up in his mind, in his soul, the reason why he was persecuted, thought he was doing God's will. God knew he could not in no way in this world just try to stop him from thinking the way he's thinking until he had this dramatic experience. And God permitted him to be temporarily blinded that he might see. All of that experience caused Paul to see. It awakened his inner being. And it got him out of his natural human reasoning. And it was a supernatural experience. So sometimes it's not so easy. Sometimes it's not so easy, you see, from childhood to adulthood. From our state as non-believers straight through until now. Before we got born again, you see, until where we are now. And where are you now? I'm telling you, there are two classes of Christians. Those who live on the level of reason and those who live on the level of authority. Two classes. Those living on the level of reasoning and those living on the level of authority. I want to say the one on reasoning is the less mature than the one that live by authority, because the one that live on authority has a revelation of Jesus and what his plans are, and that matures to me in the word of God to know that he can't live by the principle of good and evil, the principle of right and wrong, the principle of what God's word says without question or doubt. I remember, I kind of like had a blinding experience. I remember years ago. Matter of fact, I remember because I remember when I left the chemical plant, 1995. I'm on the camera, pastor teaching his class. And then I'm on the camera, and then apostle stopped teaching. He had some dramatic instances in my life. And that's why I thank God for him. I had enough. I was just God-minded enough just to not go into reasoning. He stopped teaching. He said, Ronald, just stop teaching his class. Like he had no class. He said, you can quit your job tomorrow and I'll hire you. My God. And so I heard it, and believe it or not, I dismissed that word, and I went home. Went home, got go to work like I normally do at the chemical plant. But when I got to work, something come upon me. Something, it wouldn't even permit me to even think. Matter of fact, I couldn't think. Matter of fact, I went to my supervisor's office. He said, what's wrong, Ron? He saw me in trouble. I said, I don't know. I just can't. I've been there for 20 years now. I said, I just can't. Never equate what apostle did that night before. It just, something came over me. Like I got blinded for a second. I said, I can't work anymore. He said, look at me. He said, what you gonna do, quit? I said, yeah, I'm gonna quit. I ain't know how to quit. Never quit a job for in my life. And then he said, what you gonna do? You want to go to HR, human relations? I said, yeah, let's go to human relations. He helped me through the whole process because I was like dumbfounded for a second because God would not let me reason. God would not let me try to figure out, let's see, I'm going to work for the ministry. Do I have adequate resources? We never talk about money. Apostle never talked about what he was going to pay me. I didn't even think about it. He said one time, if quail got to fall out of the sky and die. I didn't have that revelation yet, but God was going to pull. But I just didn't even think about it. And so, I ended up quitting that very day. I sure did. And then the devil tried to give me a reason. The superintendent said, now, Ronald, if it don't work for you 6 months from now, I'll hire you back. I wouldn't even get up no mind. I said, see you later. God wouldn't even let me respond to that. And say, and try to put that in my mind. So look, well, if it don't work, and trying to judge it by if it don't work, I can always have a something to fall back on. I can go back to the plan. No, God wouldn't even let me be a thought. God wouldn't even let me think that. Oh, God, thank you, Lord Jesus. Anyway, been many years later, and I'm still submitted. Many years later, and I never questioned anything my apostle told me. Many years later. Ah, my goodness. Oh, a life of obedience. Have I been perfect? No, I'm not talking about perfect. But God always helped me. God always helped me. All right. So two levels of Christian. One that live on reasoning, and the other one that live by authority. Now, listen to this. Let us ask ourselves, where do we live today? I'm asking you, class, where do you live today? Are you living in under reasoning? Don't answer too quick. Or are you living under authority? When God's command come to us, do we stop and consider the matter to see if there are sufficient reason for us to do it? See, that was God called me to escape from. You see it? He wouldn't permit me to reason. He wouldn't permit me to reason. He wants to figure it out. Oh, there's nothing but a manifestation of the tree of knowledge of good and evil when we're trying to wonder if that's the mission for sufficient reason for us to obey. When you start questioning God's will about him doing something for us, doing something for him. The fruit of that tree governs not only our personal affairs, even God's appointed thing have to go pass through our reason and judgment. You see that? We've been so pronged to submitting to reasoning that it not only go through the process of our personal affairs, but even when God commissions or commands to do something, it want to go through that same process also. The reasoning. Because we've been inclined to reason. We've been doing all of our, oh God, deliver us from reasoning. Remember, only the word of God. Last week we talked about only the word of God can deliver us from reasoning. Casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought. Now, we're going to deal with that last part of that verse. Bring back our thoughts into submission to God. See, once the strongholds are cast down, it free our thoughts to obey God, and God let us take our thoughts back. That was that other scripture was talking about. You got to take God's thoughts back and begin to function in God's thoughts again. You don't just cast down. You cast down and bring back. Let me read that scripture. Where is that? Where is that, Claire? That's 2 Corinthians. I'm going to show you. I got to cover it now because I don't know when I'm going to get a chance to cover it. Look what it says here. That sixth verse here. And having, see, don't skip, don't read the third, fourth, fifth, and don't read the sixth verse. Sixth verse is where your deliverance is. The third, fourth, and fifth verse tell you how to get delivered. But the sixth verse is where the meat of the scripture, where you get the manifestation of deliverance at. In the sixth verse, it says, and having in a readiness to avenge all disobedience. Yeah, I want revenge all disobedience. I'm coming against disobedience by pulling down every stronghold, every high thing, exalted. I'm pulling down. I'm exposing. I'm pulling down these walls, pulling down these forts that have been blocking God's thoughts off and keep me from obeying God's thoughts. I'm pulling them down. Now look what else it said. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. See it? Your obedience is fulfilled when you take your thoughts back captive. Look, look. Casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. See, now, Satan had our thoughts captive, right? Now, we're taking captive our thoughts back, bringing to captivity every thought to the obedience, bringing every captivity, every thought to the, see, in other words, bringing captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. In other words, bringing my thoughts back into obedience of Christ, taking my thoughts back, taking what God says back. No, devil, I'm not going to listen to what you said. I'm taking my, the stronghold been pulled down. I'm taking my thought back. I'm going back to what God said to do. You see it? I'm pulling down the stronghold, and this thing not going to control my thought. I'm taking back my thoughts and going back to what God said to do. And having a readiness to avenge all disobedience. See it? I'm avenging my disobedience. By what? By what? When your obedience is fulfilled. My obedience is fulfilled when my thoughts are taken back. Yeah, Lord. I like what Jesus said. Not my will. That's when your obedience is fulfilled. But thy will be done. Jesus told the boy, let us be going. Let us go to the cross. This ain't about me. It's about what God wants. And that we got to get to the point. It's not about me. It's about what God wants. It's not about me. It's what God wants. Sometimes we don't know. We don't want to witness. Because sometimes it's about us. I don't know how to approach people. I don't know what their response is going to be. It's not about you. It's about what God said. It's about pleasing God. God gave you an inkling, and God already prepared that person's heart. Ah, look what happened this week here. I'm about to cross the Sunshine. Y'all know what the Sunshine Bridge is. But I'm about to come do some business over to cross the Sunshine Bridge, going to the East Bank, and I'm about to go to the bridge. There's a young man. He's trying to tell me something. He's in the middle lane. He's in the middle of the street, and he's trying to get. See, I'm trying to get across the bridge. Well, I normally don't pick up people. I normally don't pick up hitchhikers, but this particular time, it was last week. No, 2 days ago. Today is what? What is today? It was Saturday? I don't know what day it was. But nevertheless, 2 days ago. You figure that out. And so he came to my window. He has a few dollars in his hand. He said, can you take me across the bridge? I said, get in. Put your money in your pocket. Get in. Because Lord gave me permission. And we're driving up the bridge. First question I asked him, I said, son, are you born again? he said, you can give me some around, give me some answer. And I said, let's pray the sinner's prayer. I knew he wasn't born again. I got him born again. The Lord helped me get him born again, pray the sinner's prayer. He kept thanking me. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And then he told me, he said, I just got out of jail 2 hours ago. And then from that point, I knew that the Lord wanted to minister to this young man. I shared some other things with him about his life. I told him about reading the scriptures. I told him, I even gave him a Bible I had, an extra Bible I had in my truck. I put him off on his way. And then the Lord had him give him a couple of dollars just to get started. Because he had little slippers on his feet. Come out of prison, he didn't have no shoes on his feet. And the Lord had him give him a few dollars, you know, just to get him started, you see. I don't do it to everybody. Only when the Lord tell me to do it. And so my point is that I didn't argue with God, but I knew it was the Lord. I didn't say, Lord, I don't know him. Well, what you want to pick him up for? I don't trust people that I don't know, but I trusted God. And the man got born again. And he thanked me. And he want my phone number. I said, no, I'm not giving my phone number. Don't give people your phone number. No. Amen. I need God to tell me, help me with that one. I just knew I wasn't supposed to give my phone number. Anyway, don't give everybody your phone number. It ain't part of the lesson, but it's true. Amen. Now, back to the lesson. Back to the lesson. Now, now here's my point. This is nothing. Well, I got to catch the thought back again. When God's commands come to us, do we stop and consider the matter to see if there are sufficient reason for us to do it? He said, this is nothing but a manifestation of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The fruit of that tree governs not only our personal affairs, even God's appointed things have to pass through our reason and judgment. We thank for God and decide what God should think. You heard that? That reasoning. We thank for God and decide what God should think. Without doubt, this is the principle of Satan, for it is not that he desires to be equal with God. For it is not that he desires to be equal with God. For is it not that he desires to be equal with God? Now that's a question. Satan wants to be equal with God. You see? So he wants to try to decide for God, think for God, and everything. Want to be equal with God. Always wanted to. All who really know God obeys him without argument, then there's no possibility of mixing up reasoning with obedience. That's a good statement. Read it again? All right, I'm going to read it again. There's no possibility of mixing up reasoning with obedience. You don't want to mix up reasoning with obedience. You can't, it's just like oil and water. It don't mix. You see why, Claire? I'm trying to give you these points. But you see why it's so important to understand these things? You know, people go for years, just spend half of their Christian life and don't know these things we're talking about. And these things are vital to having a obedient relationship with God. And all God wants to do is get his will done upon earth. And not about us. It's always been about him. And so we dealt last week with thoughts. You know where these thoughts come? And then we realized that Satan wanted to take our thought captives. He built walls of reason, and reason captivates our thoughts. And then lastly, we're gonna find out that if reason is not dealt with, slanderous words are issued out of reasoning. Rebellious word issue out of reasoning, come from reasoning. The more you reason, you know, and I'm gonna say it again. You know, you hang around a person long enough, sooner or later, the wrong thing come out of their mouth, go expose them. Amen. Now, the earthly life, now just we're gonna close on this right here. We're gonna show you some things about Jesus the Master. The earthly life of the Lord Jesus was entirely above reason. Now that's who we're gonna pattern ourselves after. What reason could there be for the disgrace, the lashing, the crucifixion, which he suffered? What reason could that have been? Anybody else would have dealt with that in the natural. But he submitted himself to God's authority. He neither argued nor questioned. He only obeyed. To live under reason is so complicated. Consider the birds of the air and the lilies of the valley. How simply they live. Isn't that something? The more we are subject to authority, the simpler our life would be. I like that statement. The birds of the air, they stole not Jesus, they neither do they reap. But yet our Heavenly Father feeding them. That's simple. Because they're doing what they're designed to do. Bird designed to fly. Bird designed to even pollinate different plants through the way they function. I even find out, see, I like to fish. And I even find out, well, I'm on the subject of birds. This ain't nothing to do with my lesson. But I find out sometimes birds take some kind of way the eggs of certain fish are transported in the different waters, and they'll populate fishes in different ponds through birds sometimes. And so God got a purpose for everything. But they live a simplified life. The more we submit it to authority, the more we understand authority, he's saying, the more simpler our life gets. You know, sometimes people always want to be the one in authority. You know, always want the one with the title. But my job here always was simple. Pray and obey. I didn't have the burden of apostle belief for this whole ministry. I mean, his faith out there. And God used him to govern this great ministry, this great work for him, Word of Life Christian Center, Evan Christian Word Training Center, all these different aspects of ministry, the assignment God gives him, so many different facets, the Slack app and all these things he's governing over, he's watching closely. And all we have to do is pray and obey. Our jobs in the health ministry is so simple. See, I function in the health ministry. I just pray and obey, even right now. He's teaching you in this class. My job is so simple, pray and obey. Pray and obey. But thank God for authority. That's why the Bible says pray for your leaders. Pray that they have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Pray that the eyes of their understanding always be enlightened. You see? And so thank God for our apostle. Thank God. But the more we are subject to authority, the simpler our life. Don't you want your life simpler? If your life is confused and complicated, it's something you're doing. It's something you're trying to figure everything out on your own. You're trying to figure everything out, and you're trying to be something you don't want to be, or God don't want you to be, rather. But God has simplified this thing so much, class. I hope you hear me. So next week, class, what we're going to deal with, we're going to try to cover. I'm not going into detail. You know, I don't have time to go through the whole book. Read the rest of these things for yourself. But I'm trying to highlight these things. I taught these classes for a few years, and I kind of learned to know what's important, what I need to hit upon, what we need to cover within a year's time to make a complete circle of the lesson. So when you leave here, you won't be confused and say, what did he talk about? I'm number one authority. He didn't make no sense what he was saying. He jumped from place to place. No, I'm trying to cooperate everything with the vision of your pastor, the vision of this ministry, what God is doing in your personal life, trying to make life simpler for you. So next week, we're gonna talk about the words, reason, and thoughts. But notice I took it back. I took it back the other way and start teaching from the backside of it. I don't know if that makes sense. From thoughts, because that's why I believe it starts from thoughts, reasoning, and then rebellion is manifested through words. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. Well, class, you've been a good class, and you're listening so good. You listen so good, I just want to let you know that I appreciate teaching you. You make my job so easy because of the way you listen. And thank you so much, and I'll see you next week.